Hello and welcome to Map Bites episode 200. I'm Elaine Giles and I'm here with my co-host Mike Thomas. In this episode, oh never mind all that, we went live. No, we really did. We decided to share the love. Well, that and the Jeopardous business of recording a Map Bites with a live audience. So let's travel back to recording day and see how it all went. Hello! How are we all doing? Yes, we have started, but there's a delay, isn't there, Mike?
There is.
Oh, it's always great fun. Great, great, great fun. Ah, you see, there we are. Yes, we are here. We are. Hello and welcome to Map Bites episode. Shall we have a drum roll? 200. It's a miracle. It is nothing short of a miracle, I'm telling you. So, what have we got today, Mike?
200 not out. You know, when we came up with that idea, we were about to lose a test match.
Yes, but then it all went wrong, didn't it?
No, it all went right.
Yeah, but yes, but that is wrong in terms of it's not what you expect.
Yes.
No. So, that's another celebration. Never mind 200 shows.
Yeah.
England won a test match. Do you think that was the Aussies thinking that if they didn't let us win one, then we wouldn't go back?
Probably.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might have
been.
Like
the old sports day, let them win.
Do you know, we had that at sports day as well. We're obviously of a certain era, aren't we?
Yeah.
A certain vintage, as they say. Right, now, I need to see what on earth we're supposed to be talking about, which is in a different window. Thank you very much, Renee. Hello. Right. There it is. Right, excellent. So, we're going right back to the beginning.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Oh, well, the show started in 2007, but I think we need to go back further than that.
To 2006.
In fact, possibly earlier than that. I remember we'd saved up. I don't know if we've ever shared this before, but we were saving up. Do you remember, Mike? And we went out. It could well have been Christmas 2005 to buy an all singing, all dancing Windows machine. And what did we find when we got to the shops?
The cupboard was bare.
Well, every single machine that they had, not even joking here, had that weird version of Windows on it.
Media Center.
Yes. And obviously we needed, well, it would have been NT at the time, wouldn't it? No, it wouldn't. It would have been Windows 2002. Whatever we needed, it wasn't on it. Let's just put it like that. So we trudged around from one place to another, and this was back in the day when Time had buildings, they had shops. Remember?
I remember.
We went round every single one. We went to Currys, you name it, we went there. None of them had any PCs that didn't have this stupid Media Center thing on it. So we returned home with our cash still there. So we decided we'd leave it and see how it went. What I did that Christmas, though, you may have forgotten this.
Probably.
Yeah. Do you know what I did instead?
No idea.
With about £15. I bought a book on Linux, and there was a CD with it.
I do remember you buying a book on Linux, yeah.
Not only was there a book, but it also had like a CD DVD with it. You could run Linux from it. So I did. So I was seriously, apart from Photoshop, thinking of switching to Linux. Which was when, in April 2006, when we went to the Adobe gig and they had Lightroom and it only ran on a Mac, I was quite open to that because I'd already seriously contemplated Linux. So apart from the thing with the dock, which always freaked me out, you know that
right,
Zoom-y
we're getting
thing?
A Mac was what you said. Wasn't it? Right, we're getting a Mac.
Yes. Well, we sat there through this thing. And then at the end, I'm thinking, oh, I can't wait for this. And then they said, it's only available on the Mac. I thought, sorry, pardon? For how long would this be happening? And the gist of it was potentially a year. And I thought, well, that's not happening. So we walked out of the room, didn't we? And I said, we'll have to buy a Mac. And that was the infamous words in history. Who knew where that would lead us, Mike, if we hadn't have done that?
Yeah.
That was at the Lowry as well, wasn't it? Didn't Jose live at the Lowry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when Jose Mourinho was manager at United, he lived at that hotel. Obviously, we were there first. So, we went and got our first Mac. We went all the way to Derbyshire for it, like two idiots, because we had no idea there was an Apple store in the Trafford Centre. Oh, the embarrassment. Now, you see, if I was a normal woman, you know, obsessed with shopping, I would have known that.
You would.
Because it was next door to Victoria's Secrets, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, there's Victoria's Secrets, then Elaine's Secrets next to it. That's the Apple store. But we did. We went all the way to Derbyshire. Mum and Dad were away for the weekend. So by the time we staggered back, because didn't you do the scenic tour of Stoke-on-Trent?
I did. I went round the roundabout half a dozen times.
There's a history of you doing that. Oh, it was a shocking, shocking journey. Both there and back, because on the way there, you did do the scenic tour of Stoke-on-Trent. I saw every inch of Stoke-on-Trent seven times. So I said on the way back, because going via Stoke-on-Trent was to avoid, was it the Snake Pass? Or the peak thing, anyway, where the hills are. Because I'd done that once on the way to Nottingham and I wasn't intent on doing it again. But on the way back, I said, forget Stoke-on-Trent, let's go the direct route. What a mistake that was, eh? Do you remember the rain?
Oh, I do, yeah.
It was hailstones the size of golf balls bouncing off the car roof. It was one of the only times I'd seen the dog not barking. You know, he would get giddy in a car, wouldn't he? But he wasn't, because he was turning his head from side to side with, like, what on earth is that noise? And it was these things hammering on the roof.
And he says no such thing as scenic Stoke.
Well, there's that true. That's very true, that as well. Yeah. It wasn't pleasurable, so I didn't want to do it twice. But the rain on the way back was biblical. It was biblical. Do you know what else I remember about 2006? Because this was only one Mac, wasn't it? It was the first gen Intel iMac, 20-inch. And the only thing I knew about it at the time was that Kiefer Sutherland, who was one of my favourite actors in 24, obviously, was voicing the ads. That was all I knew about it. But what else I remember about 2006 was going to the Northwest Mac User Group. That I really enjoyed that. Do you remember?
Yep.
Well, I think the first one we went to, was it the first one before or the first one after WWDC?
I think it was the first one after, yeah, because I remember that guy, Andrew.
Yeah.
Who was talking about everybody getting whoopee wild.
Yeah. I mean, we were aware of it, but we didn't realise what a thing. We knew WWDC had happened, but we didn't realise like an annual thing and whatever. It was pilgrimage time. So, we learnt a lot at that meeting. But it was so funny because we got there early. It was in a pub. We got there early and there was two guys there. There was Andrew and was it old Jack?
Jack.
Jack, his name. And they were sat there in the corner. Now, when I say old Jack, he must have been 90 if he was a day. And he was so switched on. Him and Andrew, they must have been there like the praying mantis. What's the plural of praying mantis?
Praying manti.
Oh, yes, that. Because it was, and what do you do for a living? So we explained and it was, so your teachers, and the little face lit up, didn't it? And I thought, well, let's leave it at that. You know, that explains it enough. Oh, no, how naive were we? That they were what would you say, surveying for potential victims.
You could do a session.
Yeah,
for
you could
us.
Do a session. Yeah, victims to deliver a session. It was. So I agreed to do it. I think I had a couple of months to prep it. And it was, we did have a podcast at that point. Matt Bice wasn't our first podcast. Not our first rodeo, was it? We had M-Wire.
Oh, M-Wire. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think my session was on podcasting with the N-Wire. And I was hoping, given I had 2 months, that I would be taking my new Mac laptop. Oh, silly me. It was August 2006. The new Mac laptops didn't appear until September. So there we were, dragging down there our own projector, wasn't it?
Projector cables.
Yeah, I had to buy dedicated cables because I didn't use them. And a 20-inch iMac. Strapped to the back of the car. look like Jed Clampett. Oh, but we did have a good time. And we did meet some lovely, lovely people at the Mac group,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, we did. So if you're listening, hi.
Hello, if you're listening. Excellent. Yeah, write back and say hello to us, that you're still there. Oh, I do remember. At that point, we were meeting in the pub, weren't we? But we did eventually move to would you say it was community centre?
It was a community centre, yeah.
All I remember about that was the fact it was opposite the dog's home. And I always wanted to stop at the dog's home and take all the dogs home with me. Right. I thought that was the plan, but never mind. So that was our introduction. November, do you remember when Apple used to do decent Black Friday deals?
Yeah.
That was when I got a new Mac. I know, two in a year, and my first year at that. I got the 24-inch iMac, which I absolutely adored. That I think was my favourite Mac. Definitely my favourite iMac. Loved it. It was the white one. It was brand new. It was announced, I think, at the October event. And that meant the reason I was in the market for a new one after only 7-8 months was that you decided you wanted a Mac, didn't you?
I did.
So I decided that he could have mine and I could have a new one.
Yeah, I always get the cast-offs.
Well, by that stage, to be honest, I'd already got my laptop, so I already had two Macs. And you would think that it had been here 6-7 months and that you would have been okay with it. And what happened when it got on your desk?
I can't remember.
Absolutely clueless. How do you move the cursor to the end of the line?
Oh, yeah.
How do you do this? How do you do that? And another Mac arrived, didn't it? He's forgotten this one. December.
My white laptop.
2006. No, steady on. You hadn't reached those dizzying heights yet. No, so the December 2006, my 24-inch arrived, the 20-inch went on Mike's desk, and a 17-inch appeared for my father.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, you see, it's all coming back, isn't it? You've forgotten all of this. So we had got quite a house full of Macs. By the end of our first calendar year on Mac, we had the 20-inch on Mike's desk, the 24-inch on mine, the 17 on my dad's, and I had a 17-inch laptop, which was the best laptop I think I've ever had. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Loved the fact you could change the batteries. Loved the fact you could upgrade it. Loved everything about it. And yes, I went for the shiny screen as well. But I do remember I went down to pick it up from the Apple store in the Trafford Centre on launch day, by which point I'd ingratiated myself with all the staff. And to make sure that I had this, it was BTO as well. That was when the Genius Bar could fit RAM and stuff, wasn't it?
Mm.
And they had kept two back for me, one with the shiny screen and one without. And I wanted the one with the shiny, but they did keep two back for me so I could choose which one I wanted. And then they'd upgrade the RAM. Oh, it was fabulous back then. It really, really was. Which takes us through to 2007. You've totally forgotten the NWire.
I've totally forgotten the NWire.
I must dig those out, you know.
Podcasters before our time.
Yeah, we were, weren't we? Mm. Do you know, I can't remember. The only thing I remember about the NWire is sitting there and doing this. It was a learning thing, wasn't it, for the Institute? So it was about IT training. Yeah. And I thought, right, well, what would I do in this thing? And it was a video-based podcast of screen recording. And I remember recording how to use Firefox. Obviously, I was way ahead of my time, right? We didn't even have Google Chrome then. So I was doing this thing with Firefox. And do you remember what happened? You weren't here. You were at work. But you probably heard the bad words from where you were.
Was this the one? No. No.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. No.
No, what happened was I'd started doing this demo and the demo ran for about 45 minutes. I turned around. So I was doing the audio on the Mac because I had a Snowball, didn't I? So the Snowball was on the Mac, but the demo was on Windows. So I'd done the whole thing. I turn around. Who knew that GarageBand cut out after 30 minutes? Oh, bad words were said. So I didn't have an end. It cut the end off for me. Not good. Not good. But 2007 was when we all started talking about a podcast. And when I say all, it was me and Mike, because we were already doing it, and the Berkster, Mike Burke, that we met at the Mac User Group. And we talked about it for quite a while, didn't we?
We did.
I think we mainly talked about it at the Mac Club. And then between meetings, it was like, yeah, must get round to that. Must do that. And then eventually it got to September and it was like, we need to do it. We just need to do it. And you made the point the other day about all the other names we had.
Yeah, if we'd chosen a different name, because we sat around the virtual table and kicked a few names around, so there might never have been a Matt Bites or a Matt Bites After Hours or
a Matt Bites anything.
A Matt Bites Siri.
Yeah.
One
of the names was Mac Bites with a Y.
Yeah.
Another was Apple Bites.
Mm.
Now, to be honest, Apple Bites, if you think about it, would probably be more relevant today because you've got other kit, haven't you? We only really had Macs and iPods at the time.
Yeah, but there was a time when weren't Apple coming after people who had Apple in their podcast name?
Yes, or they used the leaf.
That's right.
If there was an Apple involved, even if it wasn't their logo, if there was an Apple, they came after you and pulled your podcast from the store. So we went for Mac, although our logo was the leaf, wasn't it? But the rest of it wasn't there, so we're claiming that one for ourselves.
Kim says happy 200. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim. There's so much going on in the chat. I'll have to catch up with the chat. But yes, so there was lots of plotting and planning went on. And then we did sit down to record it. And obviously after you record it is when you find out all the issues. So we were again ahead of our time in that we didn't intend to record it using, what was that audio thing at the time?
I can't remember.
Was it iChat? I think we didn't use Skype. I remember that. But we all recorded our own audio in three different locations, which gave us the best audio. Or that was the plan. Now, Mike lived in Warrington, which is about 20, 25 miles from us. So just popping it through the letterbox on a pen drive wasn't an option, really. So he intended to FTP it to us. Oh, this file was only about 30, 40 meg.
Mm-hmm.
And it took the best part of the entire day to upload it and then for me to download it. That was the first time. That was the first time, really, I had to do any serious editing. And before that, yes, I would edit, but it was only my own audio. And obviously, at that point, I had to learn multi-track audio editing. And of course, you're listening to yourself, and you couldn't bear listening to yourself, could you?
No, I have no problem now.
You don't now, but you did then. You never stopped moaning.
Didn't I?
No, about what it sounded like. But we only had, was it 6 or 7 shows before Mike retired?
I think it was 6.
Yeah, I think it was 6.
Yeah.
This was around the time that the iPhone was released. So Mike headed off to get an iPhone, not my Mike, Mike Burke. We went with him. We did some interviews. There we were, live on the spot. But we didn't buy an iPhone. I think this was basically because we were with Vodafone, wasn't it? And you'd have to have switched to O2 and it was hideously expensive. Vodafone didn't want you to go. So we did the iPhone launch, but we also did the Leopard launch. So they were great days, weren't they? That I think was the highlight, that the high spot of doing Mac podcasting and being in the Mac world. I think that really was the high spot. But as we headed into 2008, we started doing meetups, didn't we?
We
inadvertently.
Did. Yeah.
One was an Adobe gig, and obviously I've got fond memories of Adobe gigs. And one of our listeners was there, and it was so funny because we were, I think we were DMing, or we could have been on Twitter, but it must have been late 2008 because I had an iPhone, and we got our first iPhones in the summer of 2008. That was a day and a half, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We got there really, really early. And everything had gone into meltdown. And the thing was, if you left the queue, you lost your place. So if you were on your own and you needed to use the facilities, you lost your place. Now, obviously, it turned into like the Dunkirk spirit, didn't it? You know, Mike looked after my place. I looked after his place. There was a couple that were behind us, I think. And they had a baby in it, in a push trolley thing, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And she needed the toilet and the kid needed feeding. And, well, I mean, you think to yourself, well, couldn't you be better organised? We were in this queue for 7.5 hours. It was horrific. The Apple Store were actually, I mean, it wasn't them that went down. It was O2 that went down. So they've got, I would say a shop full of people, but they had more than a shop full. The queue headed out up to John Lewis. So the queue must have gone on for about a mile and a half. And we were at the front of it. But, we said to this couple, you go sort it out. Leave the pram thing. What are they called now? They're not a pram anymore. Do you remember?
Buggies.
Well, either said a pram or a buggy. But apparently it's a child transportation system now.
Never heard of it.
Do you remember? Debbie said, when Pam said to Debbie, this is two friends of ours, you'll need a buggy. She said, oh, Mom, it's a child transportation system now. I think what she meant was, it's now £700 for a buggy. Mm. I think that's what she meant. So we said, Leo, leave the prammy thing, the thing with wheels, leave it there. And we'll say it's with us. So that was great fun. We were so exhausted afterwards. I think we did use the phone, didn't we? I remember ringing Mum and saying, we're still there, we're still there, we're still there. We went to the Chinese for lunch.
Oh, we went to the Chinese and they were all interested in it.
Well, we had Apple bags and it said iPhone on it, didn't it? And this was at the time when it was the iPhone 3G. So it was only the second model of the iPhone. And people were fascinated. Like, can we have a look at it? Can we see it? And it was literally like, you see them at when they used to do when Steve Jobs would do a keynote and they had stuff in like a glass box. It was literally like that. And then, not satisfied with that, after we'd done the Chinese, we went to Starbucks to use their Wi-Fi. Do you remember?
Oh, I do.
Because we'd started on Twitter 2 months before. So we I won't exactly say we were live tweeting it. We were doing the best we could. I remember being stuck for what my Twitter password was, because obviously I hadn't really set the phone up properly at that stage. But I did luckily recall it. This was when my passwords were memorable. They're no longer memorable. One password deals with everything. But I do remember tweeting live from Starbucks at the time. Great fun. But once I'd got my iPhone and we went to this Adobe gig, I'm busy tweeting that I'm going to this Adobe gig. And this friend was also going to the Adobe gig. I can't remember the first time we met Galoof. This was his handle on Twitter, Galoof. And he said, I'm at that event. I'm there. I'm like, yeah, I'm there too. And of course, I knew what he looked like, so I knew where he was. But I'm a woman of mystery, me. No one knows what I look like. So he's looking around the room and I'm like trying to be subtle and I'm watching him and I thought, oh, this is hysterical. And he's looking around. There weren't 50-50 men and women, were there?
No.
That was when you could say 50-50 men and women. Yeah, there weren't. So he was probably looking in a room of about, what do you say, about 150, 200. There was probably about 25 women. And he was just eyeballing everyone, but he didn't clock me. I was on the front row and he was at the back. So I said, right, I'll stand up and wave. So I'm watching him as he got this message and he stood up and he's looking around and I stood up on the front row and waved. Great fun meeting Mac Bitus. The next one we met was Damien, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Well, you were keeping your eye on Liverpool one, weren't you? On the development of it. Because Mike was working there. So every day he walked past this, well, it didn't even have Apple on the front at first, did it?
Took a few photos.
Yeah, but initially it was just boarded up and it said like new store coming soon, but it didn't say what the store was. But rumours were rife it was an Apple store. So we were getting updates from Mike. And then one weekend it was like, right, it's opening on Saturday. And we headed off for the opening and we met Damien. And Damien still follows us now, doesn't he?
He does indeed.
Yes, we still chat with Damien. So if you're listening, Damien, do say hello. Great, great fun 2008. We've missed one, haven't we? Which was your favourite episode.
My favourite episode? Oh, the one where I lost the show notes.
No. We're not at that point yet. No, I thought one of your favourite episodes was when Mike had left and it was the two of us and it was like, well, what are we going to talk about? We'll talk about text editors. Please don't listen to that show. It's the most boring show ever.
Yawn.
Oh, we hadn't hit our stride. That's what it was, Mike. We hadn't quite hit our stride. I would say we hit our stride in 2009 with episode 24. Do you remember why? We did the ba-boom, 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 which was my phone thingy. I've got the CTU ringtone. Still got that to this day, 16 years later. But yes, I think when we got to episode 24, I decided that we didn't have to podcast like anybody else. We could podcast like us. So like us meant anything went. We could do whatever we liked. You know, you weren't in a straitjacket thinking, oh, no, I can't do that because nobody else does that. So that's why we did the episode 24. I can't remember the full title. Michael, fill in with the full title. It was 24 somethings. It wasn't just 24.
I'll go and have a look.
He's going to check his magnificent Excel data. And we started off with that. But no, you were right in terms of 2009 being memorable for another reason as well. So what was the title of 24?
Where's my spreadsheet gone?
It was 24 somethings and something else. You know the episode titles that we do. It was crazy. Oh, right.
24 toys of an adult nature.
Oh, you see what I mean? That was very MacBites, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that was the point we decided. We could keep the clean tag and be very tongue-in-cheek. So we did. 24 toys of an adult nature. But my abiding memory, and I'm going to let Mike share this one. He is going to share this one. Was late 2009. And what we did in 2009, I spent most of the autumn at the Octagon Theatre in Bolton, didn't I?
Mm.
My favourite actor at the time was in two plays. It was what they call a cast through. So he did the first play, and while they were rehearsing for that, they were rehearsing for the first play. When they started the first play, they were then in rehearsals, the same cast, for a follow-on play. So the first one was All My Sons, Arthur Miller, and the second one was Ghosts by Henrik Ibsen. So I'd booked about five versions of each one, hadn't I? From various vantage points. We'd got front row seats, we'd got seats higher up, we'd got seats, it was in the round. So we had seats on both sides of the auditorium. Oh, it was great fun. But the Octagon also put on special events. And I went to the majority of those as well. On first name terms with my favourite actor at the end of it. Well, poor guy. Anyway, we were also, while I was busy doing that, reading the entire works of Arthur Miller and the entire works of Henrik Ibsen, which I did. Well, these events were kind of not exactly highbrow, were they? But I think they were a better experience if you knew all the works. So I read the lot. Oh, I definitely remember the autumn of 2009. Mike remembers it for a totally different reason.
I do. I've already just mentioned it, so yes, I'll spoil the plot. I can't even remember what software we were using.
I can.
I'm sure you can.
It was the one in a browser that worked really, really well, Etherpad.
Oh, was it Etherpad?
Etherpad before Google got their hands on it.
So we use this thing called Etherpad, where we put in all our show notes and bullet points that we needed to remind ourselves of when we were recording. And I pressed something. I've no idea what I pressed. You know, it was 2009. It's all disappeared from my brain now.
I'm sure it has. After the therapy.
I'm waffling now, aren't I?
Tell them what you did. Oof,
the show notes disappeared.
Yes, they did. But, you know, technically speaking, it had a history, so it was just undo.
Yeah.
And back they'd come. What happened?
Which didn't work.
No, it didn't, did it, Mike? No. They were gone.
Yeah. So bad words were said.
Bad
words were said, yes. There nearly wasn't an episode, whatever the next one was.
Well, the thing was, we'd done them every week as well.
So,
like this year.
So in the end, I said, right, I'm going to take the day off work and reconstruct them for you.
Yes, thank you for that, Mike.
Yes.
We'd lost everything, though, hadn't we?
Yes.
So, I mean, things like the links that you need to put in, they just weren't there.
I think she's just about forgiven me.
Yeah, it still gets mentioned every now and then.
It does.
This is why shows are now prepped in Scrivener and you have your own copy of Scrivener.
Yes.
And you just give it to me and I deal with it because you're not trusted with it. He was a little bit flippant with the delete key. Let's just say that.
I was.
You were. Right, so Well, that got us up to the end of 2009, didn't it?
I'm going to say hello to Tony so he knows we're live.
Hello, Tony!
There you go. Name check for you,
there
Tony.
There you go. Well, there's so many people in the chat. Mm. I will catch up with the chat. Right, so we went gently into 2010, didn't we? I think the first thing I remember... Well, actually, I think we've got this the wrong way round. I think we need to talk about the iPads because they were announced in January 2010. And do you remember everybody's attitude? Just a big iPhone.
Oh, yeah. I remember somebody at work saying that to me. You're getting an iPad. It's just a big iPhone, isn't it?
This is what people are like. One person says something and before you know it, 47 others are saying exactly the same and thinking they're clever. Well, it was announced in January and America got it first. But come May, we got it. And we'd organised ourselves, hadn't we? Booking time off work. It was coming on the Friday. Mum and Dad always went shopping on the Thursday. So there I am, minding my own business on the Thursday, and a van arrives at 9:30. Amazing I was up, to be honest. Mind you, Mayor, once he was up, everyone was up.
True.
And it had my iPad on it. And Mike's arrived later in the day. But by this stage, my breakfast had set solid, hadn't it? I was in the middle of cooking porridge, and I've totally forgot. There is a picture on the website. Mike will find the link. Of my breakfast with a spoon in it, and I'm holding it at 90 degrees and it's set solid. I mean, it put me right off eating porridge, you know, because if it sets like that, what's it doing to your insides? Oh dear, don't even think about it. So yeah, I didn't get any breakfast that day, but you had booked the Friday off, so we did have all Friday to play with it. But that's not where the story ended, is it?
I don't know, remind me.
Mike will have forgotten. It's good job I've got a memory, like an elephant, isn't it? Mm. You had a dead pixel.
Oh, the dead pixel.
The dead pixel. So off we headed to the Arndale. And we'd also done an opening at the Arndale, hadn't we? We've got an Arndale t-shirt. So we headed off to the Arndale in Manchester.
Mm. You know, I was going through some files today. One of them's called Dead Pixel Test.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've got a whole range of dead pixel images. And if you remember, iPad 2 was Backblade Gate.
Yeah.
But iPad 1 was Dead Pixel Gate. So Mike ended up with, that show was magically multiplying iPads because you ended up with three of them. And the thing was, he couldn't just take the one in that they delivered because that came from a different place. He had to buy another one and then send the one back that they'd sent him. Do you know, automation and technology is wonderful if it's deployed correctly, but that's not helpful. What if you didn't have enough credit to have two iPads on your credit card, and by the time you'd finished, three in store and one that they'd sent? Good job you did have enough money on the credit card. Yeah. Oh, great fun that was. But my abiding memory after getting our first iPads was we were trying to record a show. And my mum and dad had gone away on holiday and she said, I'll ring you. I thought, oh, joy, because I couldn't say to mum, only ring between certain times. Like she would just do her own thing. She said, I'll ring you. I thought, great. That would mean when we were recording the show, I had to leave my phone on. But I thought, well, it'd be fine. It'd be fine. They'd gone up to the Fylde coast, which is just north of where we live. You may have heard of Morecambe, Fleetwood, Blackpool, around that area. So they'd headed off up there and they were in this hotel. And at the time, this would be 2010. So I just think Mum had decided, I don't think Dad did have a heart condition at this point. Well, apart from having to be with my mother. So, you know, you never know. But she didn't want to have him climbing the stairs. So she deliberately insisted on a ground floor room. Big mistake. And again, it was the technology that let them down, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, big mistake. Couldn't get a signal in the downstairs, could only get a signal in the upstairs. So Dad was walking round outside the hotel, holding his phone at arm's length upwards to try and get the signal to ring us. So they didn't ring us until after we'd finished. But because I'd had to leave the phone on, I'm thinking that was a phone call from that woman as well. This woman had the temerity to ring me. Now, when I say this woman, this was some random training woman that followed me on Twitter. How she had my phone number, I do not know. But she did. And she rang. And she was selling some kind of program, wasn't she? called, and I quote, the power of the mind. Well, you learnt some bad words that day, didn't you?
I did.
I mean, do not ring me. Rule one, do not ring me. Rule two, see rule one. She rang me, and obviously it disturbed the podcast. We have a recording of my reaction to that that's never seen the light of day because... No, you do not want to hear me like that. You don't. Oh, so what do you remember from 2011, Mike?
Siri.
Yes, Siri arrived. Actually, it wasn't all good news in 2011, but Siri arriving was. We decided, we shared the love when we bought stuff. This was when we used to go out and buy them from the stores. We'd share the love. So we'd done Arndale, we'd done the Trafford Centre. Didn't enjoy the Trafford Centre. They were far too officious at the Trafford Centre, weren't they? So we decided we'd do Liverpool one. Well, that was entertaining, wasn't it? That was the day we had the queue, didn't we? They'd put like barriers up outside. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the queue went on for hours. Again, I think they opened for purchase at 5 o'clock and people were there from 7 a.m. So that was a great day. I remember having to walk about 3 miles to the toilet, only for Jane in Australia. Think about that. I'm in Liverpool. Jane, Perth, Australia. I hikes off to the toilet, having asked like 47 people where the toilet was. I staggers back like, good grief, how far was that? And she said, well, there's one in John Lewis, which was literally 20 yards away. Bad words were said at that point.
Didn't think about that, did you?
Oh, happy memories, not. But I do remember sitting there, because I then went for a sit down, because we've been stood up for
hours.
So there was a bench there. I thought, go and sit on that bench for a bit and I'll take a picture from the back and I'll do a bit of video. So I was doing a bit of video. That would have been on my iPhone 4, that would have been, because I was waiting for the 4S. And this hen party went past, didn't they? And that was part of my video. The women went past. They had no idea what was going on, what you're waiting for. But it was a hen party in the middle of Liverpool with blow up things that we don't talk about. Oh, that was great fun as well. But to be honest, the whole experience wasn't the best, was it? Because the carpetbaggers were there.
Mm.
Yeah. So we did the iPad at Liverpool one, and we also did Siri arriving at Liverpool one. But the carpetbaggers were in the queue and they wanted you. If you were buying one, they wanted you to buy another one and sell it to them. And I just wanted leaving alone. So that wasn't great fun. But our phone day was when you had booked another day off work and your boss decided to ring you and talk to you for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
While we were in Starbucks. So luckily, I had 50 gig free from Box to play with. Do you remember that deal?
I've still got that account.
Everybody,
somewhere.
They gave everybody 50 gig of storage, which, you know, back in 2011 was a huge amount. It was it was to celebrate the launch of the iPhone 4S, but you still got it even if you didn't have a 4S, because we only bought one, didn't we? You might buy a series unique.
Renny wants to know if that video is still available with the hen party.
I'm not sure. It was only a very short clip. I'll try and find it. I'll try and dig it out. I did take some photos as well, but I definitely made a video. I mean, it was literally just a short panorama. I thought I'll do a panorama of the queue. And as I did, this hen party wandered past. Oh, the things you see. I mean, you got to remember, this was broad daylight, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I always thought, Pete, I've never been to a hen party, you know.
I have. Yeah. We won't go there.
No, let's not go there. You weren't the stripper, were you? He's not saying he wasn't. Just a minute, Mike.
Let's get back to Mac.
No, let's get back. Well, it wasn't all good news in 2011, because when we went to get... our iPhone 4S. Steve Jobs had died, hadn't he, a couple of days before?
Yeah.
So everyone was actually quite sad. And at that point, we were up to show 56, which happened to be the age he was when he died. And we thought we'd be okay. We said, we'll do a short show as a tribute. And we were in the office and it was like, yeah, well, we'll say this and we'll share some memories. We'll be fine. I headed off into the studio. Mike recorded in the office. We got in there. I remember doing the intro and I just went. I didn't expect to be as impacted as I was, but I'm sitting there with my voice totally going. So, not the best end to 2011. And we still say today, don't we, if Steve Jobs was here, imagine how old would Steve Jobs be if he was here? He'd be another 15 years older, wouldn't he?
I said that the other day over something, didn't I? Yeah.
70 odd.
Yeah.
Well, if 2011 didn't end well, 2012 started worse. I decided I was going to get serious with YouTube, hadn't I? Mm. But we were also doing live sessions in probably Adobe Connect at the time. And in January at Macworld, they'd announced iBooks Author. So I was doing some iBooks Author sessions. Well, in fact, I intended to do one. And I think that must have been, could it have been a Monday night? Because I'm thinking it was Sunday night when it happened.
Probably was.
Maya had a shocking, shocking night. By this stage, Maya was 11 and his legs weren't what they were. But this particular night, he could not settle. He cried all night. I remember ringing the emergency vets and what an imbecile did I get on the other end. What are you ringing us now for? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I thought, because the dog needs help now, not when it's convenient for you. And may I just ask the obvious question, are you the 24-hour vet or not? And they were, and obviously you had to pay through the nose to get that, but she didn't want to know. She did not want to know. So at that point, I remember saying to you, we need another vet. And by this stage, I'd gone through about 19 vets already. But it was them or nowhere. So that was where we had to go. They decided that it was arthritis and that he needed, what was that? Metacam. But they don't give you Metacam unless the dog's liver can take it, which meant they needed to do a liver function test. They told us, we laughed like hyenas, didn't we? Like a drain. We can do that without putting him out. I thought, absolutely no chance, but go for your life. And get me some popcorn because I'm going to sit back and enjoy this. There was no way Maya would have let them do that. So it ended up, bring him in. He'll only have to be in for a couple of hours. It'll be fine. And this particular day, you know, this is bring him in at 8 o'clock in the morning. So we did. He'll only be in a couple of hours. And I had a live session in the evening. Couple of hours. We didn't get him out of there until 9 at night. By which point, I'd had to cancel this live session, and I felt really bad about cancelling a live session. I mean, it was a free session, but even so, I'd been brought up with integrity and morals. So I felt really bad about doing that. So I decided I'd rerun it when Maya had improved, which he did. But I would do it like 3 or 4 times. And that way, people who couldn't make the one repeat date, there was like 4 repeat dates. I remember sitting there with my iPad and I had data on mine, but you didn't and you couldn't tether, could you?
No.
See, Mike only had his phone, but I did have an iPad. And we sat there all day. We were outside the vets. They told us to go home. But we weren't going
home. In my freezing car.
Yeah, it was absolutely freezing. It was siling it down. It was February. And we sat there all day and I kept ringing them and ringing them. And the thing was, the holdup was, they would not let us take him home after this liver function test. Liver function was absolutely fine, needless to say, as I predicted. They would not let us take him home until he had eaten. They were offering him dog food, and this dog food must have been like 10 pence a tin. There's no way anybody would have eaten this thing. Maya's usual diet, mum cooked for him home-cooked food. And they were offering him a 10 pence tin of dog food. He wasn't impressed. He would not touch anything. And he was as stubborn as a mule, wasn't he?
Oh, he was.
Just to give you an idea of how stubborn he was. When we very first got him and he first went on to adult dog food, we got these tins, Pedigree Chum, best dog food you could buy, this stuff. And it was beef and veg in gravy, wasn't it? And he loved the gravy, but it had peas in it. So we gave it to him and we could hear the bowl rattling. So he was obviously eating it. So no problem there. We had a conservatory at the back of the house and there is a step to get into the kitchen. I turned round and the bowl was empty and I looked at the back kitchen step and he had literally washed the gravy off every pea and lined it up on the back step. There was about 15 peas lined up on the back step as though don't feed me anything that's green. Thank you very much. He never touched peas or broccoli. He didn't like anything green. So the thought of them offering him this absolutely substandard dog food, he was never going to eat it, which I told them. But, oh, he'll eat. I thought he won't. He's as stubborn as a mule. He is as stubborn as a mule. It's not happening. In the end, they decided to let him go and he was absolutely fine. So, that was 2012 and how I was working all day, stuck in a car, freezing. I would say it's a happy memory, though, to be honest, because he was okay, wasn't he?
True.
But I needed him to know that I was no more than 10 feet away from him. So we weren't going home, put it like that. We didn't do as many shows, did we, in 2013? Oh, Renee says he does that with his peas too. Excellent. 2013, we didn't do as many shows.
No, we didn't.
Because by this stage, my dad had been ill for about 18 months, Christmas 2012. And he'd got to the stage where he really shouldn't be driving. And I remember saying to Mum, you know, if you don't tell him that he shouldn't be driving, I'm going to, because he really shouldn't be driving. So he stopped driving at Christmas 2012, but he kind of lost the will to live at that point, didn't he?
Mm.
All he wanted to do was sit and read books. And he was gradually getting worse and worse. So obviously we were trying to help Mum. Finally, we got things organised where he had, re-ablement, they called it, didn't they?
Yeah,
weird name. But basically like carers that would come in and help. Because Mum had been fairly ill for years anyway. So finally we had some help. So we said, right, well, we'll do a Mac Bites and we'll explain where we've been. So we did. So this must have been like early September 2013. And we did a show and we said, you know, right, okay, we need to share this with you that, you know, Dad hasn't been well and we've been looking after him and blah, blah, blah. So we explained all in this show. And, you know, everyone was so kind and supportive. The following week, there was an Apple event. And we did this Apple event live. Oh, 2010, you know, that was our first Mac Bites live.
Oh, it was.
So we did this event live. And we decided we would do a show. I think the show was going to be the next day. Anyway, we did this show and we put this show out. And at the end of the show, there's usually a Siri sketch. Even though it was only 2013 and Siri couldn't say much for himself at that point. He says a lot more now. But it was the end of the show. And instead of the Siri sketch, we said what had happened and Dad had died. So literally, for the Mac Bites audience, they had no idea he was ill. And then 1 week he was ill and the next week he died. So it must have come as a heck of a shock to the listeners. And we got so much support, didn't we? Mm. And I remember one mail in particular. It was a guy who used to listen when he was cycling to work. And he'd laughed his way through the show. And then he got to the end and he said, I couldn't believe the end. I'm trying to cycle. On a main road, he said, and there's tears running down my face. You know, I had no idea. I said, well, no, neither did we. So I didn't actually struggle writing that for Dad, I don't think, because I think he'd suffered long enough and it was his time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't easy, put it like that. So you can imagine our abject horror the following year. Maya had been going downhill as well. And I think we knew, didn't we? Was it February? No, it would have been March. First week in March. He was just sat in the front room. He was absolutely fine. And he came to try and stand up. And obviously I would help him stand up by this stage. And he just lost it, the dog. And I thought, this is it. Today's the day. And I rang Mike at work and I said, you need to get home. You know, this is it. By the time Mike got home, he was fighting fit again, wasn't he?
He was.
The little monkey.
I took him out for a walk as well.
Yeah. He was chomping at the bit and like headbutting his lead. And you're like, but you were dying 5 minutes ago. So we knew he didn't have that long. So by the summer, it was like, I think he's going to make it through June, but I'm not sure he's going to make it much longer than that. And we were bang on, weren't we?
Mm.
So we did a show called Untethered in Timperley about a week later. I have no recollection of anything for about 6 weeks. after that. I know we did a show, and I know I must have written the dog's eulogy, which was like the story of... I'd wanted a dog since I was a kid. Mum was having none of it. She'd had a bad experience with a dog. And that meant I couldn't have a dog until she came to her senses. And then I got a dog. But it really was the story of his life. And he was such a character. Such a character. So we did this Untethered in Timperley, which was one of his greatest adventures. And I did, again, I don't think I struggled with that either. So as we were coming up to Christmas, oh, there was the fiasco in 2014, you know, of my iPad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd ordered an iPad. I think it was an iPad Air 2. I didn't have the one that Graham had. Graham had an iPad Air 1. Wasn't that the one that had a plasticky screen on it or something? But what I did with that, I didn't have the iPad 1. I left it for the iPad 2. I'd ordered it. And this was the one that was out for delivery, and then it wasn't. And then I had to go and collect it. That was the one. Great fun, that was. So I ended up going the wrong way up a one-way street. And there was a camera at the end. But luckily, they didn't catch me. So that was all good news. This camera clearly was either not working or the gods were with me. So that was about September, October time. We then decided that we would do our advent promotion thing again that we do all over the place. So we were preparing for that. And I think as well, there was the ice bucket challenge that year. Do you remember everybody doing the ice bucket challenge?
Nobody did it on me.
No, nobody did it on me either. No one challenged us. But many years later, it was announced that they'd raised 115 million from that. So Siri did it. Don't you remember?
Mm.
It was a Siri scare. Siri did it, but he didn't challenge us. He missed a trick there. Oh, poor Siri. So we're in the middle of the Advent thing and Mum gets ill. And we're like, you've got to be kidding us. You know, Dad had died. Mayor had died. You've got to be kidding us. But we thought, you know, heart trouble runs in the family. It'll be fine. She'll go to the doctor, which she hadn't seen in like 25 years, and she'll get some pills and she'll be fine. Well, you know, long story short, I'm sure you all remember, she wasn't fine. So, again, I felt really bad about not doing the Advent thing. But, you know, people that I pay for mastermind stuff these days, they don't bother. They just cancel stuff willy-nilly.
Mm.
What is wrong with people? So we decided, right, we'll just, at the time, it wasn't free stuff. It was recordings of our sessions. And they were all reduced to $5. And we just made the lot all reduced for the whole of Advent into the new year. And again, I think I've got a folder in my email to this day. There's about 70 emails in it from people wishing us well and saying like they'd heard. Because I don't think I did the show straight away, did I? But I sent a mail that said she was ill and we're talking seriously ill. I got so many mails back from people, including doctors who were like, if you need any help translating, just let me know, which was just amazing. You MacBiters were totally amazing. But Christmas 2014 was a bit downbeat, wasn't it?
Sad.
Yeah. She died on the 23rd of December 2014. She managed to miss our engagement, though, didn't she? Because we got engaged on Christmas Eve 1999. And she was determined she wasn't going to go on Christmas Day and she wasn't going to go on our anniversary either. And she managed that by 5 hours.
She
well
did.
Done. Well done, Mum. Amazing, as per usual. 2015 was momentous, wasn't it? He's forgotten. He's got no idea. This is why I'm doing the talking.
I have it written down there as a bullet point.
Oh, good. Good. Excellent. You know what's coming then? We made it to the dizzying heights of 100 shows.
Yay!
With kidnapping Craig's cat. Do you know, I remember the poster for that. I had a white cat on the front.
I do.
And the letters that I'd used were cut out of newspapers. Oh, excellent fun. Excellent fun. But I don't think we did that many shows in 2015 because I was in dock at that point, wasn't I?
You were.
Mm. after we'd had the funeral, which it's crazy in the UK, isn't it? If you're Jewish or of a faith where you should be buried basically before you're cold, you're fine. If you're anybody else, because of that, you're stuffed. Not to mention the fact that the priest was on holiday, wasn't he? Which didn't help matters.
No.
He'd gone to America for 6 months and then he'd come back and then he'd gone to London on holiday. So although she died on the 23rd of December, she didn't get buried until the 22nd, I think, of January. It was a long month, by which time, I think the day before the funeral, you know, like when you're at the point that you can't do anything else, it's totally out of your hands at that point. You can't do a thing. You kind of relax. And I got ill. I had serious cold or flu. Oh, it was bad. Once that had cleared up, I thought, right, let's get on with it all. And then it hit me again. And this time it was a tooth abscess, which I'd had, hadn't I? Twice before.
Mm.
Once after Dad died and once after Maya died. So with Mum, I should have known it was coming, shouldn't I? But this time it was serious. This time. Well, I would have left it. I always did. But the pain of Mum always said she'd had a baby. She'd had me and she'd had an abscess on a tooth. And she'd rather have a baby anytime than an abscess on a tooth. She wasn't wrong. Oh, the agony. But I'd survived it twice, so never mind. It was going to be fine. Until I staggered out into the hall. And in the hall, we've got this huge mirror. And I glanced at it as I was heading upstairs and my face on the left-hand side was swollen. It looked like a rugby ball. So I looked and I thought, oh, no, I'm going to need a dentist. I don't do doctors and I don't do dentists. But I did my duty and you were ringing me every day at lunch, weren't you?
I was.
Just to make sure that I was okay, because obviously we'd gone from a house of five people to a house of one while Mike was at work. And he thought I'd be lonely, so he would ring me every day at lunchtime. So I heads off about 11 o'clock to this dentist. So Mike rings me at lunchtime and he said, you all right? I said, oh, yeah, it's been a great day. So he said, what do you mean? I said, I've just been to the dentist. Well, he nearly fell off his chair. What do you mean you've been to the dentist? Trust me, Mike, I needed to see a dentist. Trouble was, not that one. What a complete and utter idiot. But it wouldn't give me any painkillers, do you remember? But no. I did get antibiotics. So eventually it sorted itself out. But at this stage, I'm knowing that I'm going to need to have some serious work done. And this guy wasn't an option. So for February, March and April, I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Did I mention what am I going to do? And then we found the perfect dentist. I couldn't even ring them, could I?
No, Mike, that was my job.
Yes, Mike was my hero. He rang them up. He must have sounded like one of those I'm asking for a friend call. They had an open evening where you could talk implants. So that was what I wanted, but I couldn't speak to them myself. There's no way I could speak to them myself. So Mike rang and she was like, well, what's your name? And he said, well, hang on a minute. It's not for me. It's for my fiance. And it did sound like it's for a friend. I'm ringing for a friend. But long story short, I think it was March that I went or April. So ensued 2 years of dental work. So 2015, we couldn't really plan anything because I didn't know if I was going to be able to speak or not. But we did manage 100 episodes. So you can't say fairer than that, can you? Oh, my, oh, my. Now, 2016, there was new tech toys. Not for you. Oh, you might have got something. Oh, you did. You got one of them. I got two of them. I decided to get fit. Yeah, I was surprised as well. And I got this, not even a Fitbit. It was like the cheapest, nastiest step counter you could find because I was determined I wasn't going to have an Apple Watch. Guess what happened in 2016? Yes, Apple Watch 2 was released and it was on order with, what was it on order with, Mike?
The iPhone 7.
In piano black. Oh, now the thing was, we got launch day delivery on both of them, but we were away for the weekend. So we'd got a delivery date and we were away the weekend before the delivery, at which point until we left the Monday morning, which was when we both got notifications that they'd left the phones on the porch outside the locked front door. What? We were in the Lake District, which is about what, 120 miles?
Something like that.
Yeah, we were over 2-3 hours away and our phones were unattended outside the front door. We were concerned, let's just say that. I have no idea, but we made it back and the phones were still there. That was a hairy, scary delivery, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I think I'd already got the iPhone by the watch by that stage. I think the watch arrived first. But 2016 was also when I got myself banned from Tesco in Stratford.
Oh, yes.
That was the trolley dolly from hell. We always used to do the shopping. And when we'd done the shopping, we'd put the trolley in the bag, in the trolley crash. And when we put the trolley in the trolley crash, we used my smiley coin. So it wasn't a pound coin, it was a smiley coin. And this smiley coin had been my mum's. So we used this. Well, could we get it out? No. So she said, well, I'll give you a pound. I said, I don't want a pound. It's my mum's smiley coin. They had to dismantle the thing. I don't think I was welcome back after that, was I?
No.
We'd only put it in there because we went for a coffee. Crying out loud. It didn't go well, but there you go. So that was great fun. That was also the year, you know, when we went away to the lakes.
Mm.
That was also the year just before we went away. That was quite funny, wasn't it? We'd had in 2015 an extension built. And we were supposed to be painting this extension. And I said, well, it'll need a mist coat first. You need to put like a very weak coat on it. And then you'd need to paint it. And with it being pure plaster, the odds were you were going to need to paint it multiple times. And this extension is huge. It is huge. It extends upwards to the bottom of the bedroom window. And it's the full width of the house. So I kept putting it off. So there's a Siri sketch and the show was called Dusky Peach with a hint of pink, wasn't it?
That's the one.
Yeah, Siri had discovered, I said I'd painted it, and Siri had discovered that it was plaster and that I hadn't. But before we went away to the lakes, that's what I did. So I'd put, good grief, about 4 coats of paint on it by that stage. But we were also doing the bathroom and toilet floor, which needed staining, and the back kitchen step, which goes into the extension. So that was, we were having white upstairs, white staining, black paint on the step, and the extension needed painting in white. I started off upstairs and I was literally walking backwards, wasn't I? Mm. And I said, the only time we can possibly do this is when we go on holiday. So I was painting the bathroom floor. Then I moved into the toilet floor. Then I did the back kitchen step. I said, make sure you've got everything because I'm about to paint the step. And we locked the door and left it. It was fine when we came back, though, wasn't it? It all dried.
It had.
So that was Dusky Peach with a hint of pink. 2017 was when Apple introduced dithering knits. Do you know, I can't remember what the device was, but it was dithering knits.
Wasn't it a MacBook?
It could have been.
It was a Mac of some kind.
Was it?
Yeah.
I've got no recollection of that.
Well, maybe it was a phone. Who knows?
My iPhones and devices, particularly iMacs, were all a bit hazy until 2017. Now, 2017 was when we had the election. Do you remember?
Mm.
Cameron resigned. We had an election. May took it. Oh, no, hang on. May had already taken over. That's right. And she decided to increase a majority, which did not go well. So when the results, this wasn't even the result. It was the prediction. The, what am I talking about? I'm losing it.
The election.
The election. That's right. It was a prediction. It was just a prediction, right? It wasn't even the final result. And it was shocking. And there was potentially a hung parliament. And the price of everything would increase. So we ordered 2 iMacs, you know, as you do.
As you do, yeah.
Yeah. It was 10:05. the polls closed at 10. And it was 10:05. And we got 2 iMacs on the way. I also remember spending about £1,200 on RAM for them as well at that point. So, yeah, that as well as the dithering knits, I don't think the iMac was the dithering knits, but there you go. That was 2017. I think that's all that happened.
I think that's all that happened, yeah.
I don't think we didn't get an iPhone, did
no.
we? No. No, we still had the
very,
7.
Very unadventurous year.
It was an unadventurous year, was 2017.
Not like 2018.
No, 2018 was fabulous, wasn't it?
Well,
and I think
it was after November.
It was. But I think it was because you got new kit.
Did I get a new kit?
Of course you got a new kit. That's what After Hours 1 was about.
Yes. Oh.
What did you open in After Hours 1?
My Surface.
Microsoft Surface.
Yes, I remember.
Do you know, I thought I'd love that, but the interface was...
Yeah, it's down
too
here.
Too desktop-y.
In my little paws right now.
Which proves the point that your iPad needs an iPad OS and your desktop needs a desktop OS. Mm. Yeah. It was too Windowsy. There you go. But it was part of the reason that we did After Hours, because we'd threatened After Hours for years because Apple kept ruining our events. Well, they were their events if everybody had their own, but that's not the point, is it? So we decided we'd do one show. We would call it Mac Bites After Hours.
That went well, didn't it?
Yeah. And we'd unbox things. And we did. We unboxed virtually everything. We had, I did have multiple toys. You had a Surface. I had an iPad, which is sat next to me on the desk now. It was an 11-inch iPad. And I also had my MacBook Air, my 2018 MacBook Air. So we had lots and lots of fun unboxing, and you demanded another show.
And things haven't changed, actually, have they?
What, demanding? Well, no, I've still got that iPad and I've still got that laptop.
No unboxings.
Yeah, we did an unboxing for every one of the season pass, didn't we?
We did.
Oh, sometimes more than one. The last show had three, didn't it? And they were good unboxings. We had great fun. So, yeah, that was why After Hours happened. And that when you got the second show, you wanted more after that as well. And that 7 years on, we're still there. With a couple of hiatuses, but never mind. 2019, we got Kit. We'd had our iPhone 7 for years, hadn't we?
Too many years, I think.
Far too many years, to be honest. So the iPhone 11 was looking tempting. We even got launch day delivery, didn't we? Which we weren't expecting, because back then it was a nightmare to try and do that. But needless to say, nothing ever goes without things happening that should rather not happen here. So iPhone 11 was out for delivery. But that night we had, and it wasn't the first one, was it? It was the second one. It was the second Triple MF dinner. And we had the brochures. So not going wasn't an option. Rocking up late, not an option. Petrolhead Tony told us he was on his way, didn't he? Sent me a text and everything. And then decided to stop for petrol. Oh, bad words were said. But I do remember we did a video of that. So we did a video of the arrival and a very swift video of the unboxing. And that was both phones needed to be set up twice, if you remember.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have time to do the transfer. So we both set it up as a new phone and headed off to the event. And I think we've shared video from the event. It was you dancing with the guy who is Simon Cowell's lookalike.
Yeah, that's the one.
I don't remember his name. What's his name?
Andy.
Andy, yeah, Andy. So Mike was dancing with him. So that was taken on the new phone. That would have been September, wouldn't it? 2019 was also the year of the £19 cleaning cloth. Go on, if you're with us live in the chat, did you do it? Did you buy the £19 cleaning cloth? We did not do that.
No, didn't Jammy get one?
I think Jammy got one with his iPad because it had nano gloss.
He's not in the chat,
no,
but I'm sure he got one.
No, he's not in the chat, but I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I didn't do that, but did anybody else?
Kind of thing Jammy would get.
Let me know. Oh, I know, but it did come with it. I can't see him getting one separate. I can't. But 2019 was a bit stressful as well, wasn't it?
It was a lot stressful. Yeah.
It was. It wasn't a good time. Are you going to talk about that or am I?
Yeah, no, I'll talk about that. Yeah, my dad was ill and passed away a week before Christmas.
There's a thread here, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
My gran died not long before Christmas. Your gran died not long before Christmas. Mum died on the 23rd and your dad went the same week.
Yeah.
Mm.
And we had an after hours, didn't we, on the night of his funeral?
Well, the thing was, it was all going to be fine, wasn't it? Wasn't the funeral something like...
Funeral was in the afternoon.
But 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
It wasn't late.
Yeah, and then I expected we'd go back to my mother's, have a bite to eat, and then be able to nip off and do after hours. But somebody had a problem getting some medication. Not us.
Nothing to do with
some
us.
Some other member of the family. And we ended up eating at some daft time, didn't we?
Well, we were out all day, weren't we?
Yeah.
Because there was the funeral. And then there was a service after that. We went on to a service, didn't we?
Mm.
Like a memorial thing.
Yeah.
So we'd done the funeral, we'd done the service, we'd had lunch at McDonald's, never again. It was the only place that had food we could eat. And then we ended up back at your mum's for food. But because, I mean, they must have been 2.5 hours we waited.
Yeah.
And it was starting to get really close to after hours time. And I'm thinking, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it back. So I said, it's fine, I'll cancel it. You know, there's nothing we can do. It's your dad's funeral. So I get on my phone. Now, bearing in mind, your mum, while she does live in the same area we do, it's more two tin cans and a ball of string and hoping her internet, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we couldn't get a phone signal. So I'm stood there. Luckily, it's a top floor flat, isn't it?
Mm.
So I'm stood there doing what my dad was doing on the Far Coast, waving the phone around. And I managed to get a signal. And I thought, right, YouTube, log in. So I logged into the back end of YouTube. I finds the live stream ready for, I don't know what number marooned it was, but it, after hours. But we've been doing it a year. So
yeah.
It must have been sort of 48 or 50.
Mm.
There I am. I thought, right, where's the cancel button? And then I'll send everybody an email. You can't cancel a live stream from a mobile. Cancelling was not an option. And we were probably at that stage. I mean, she only lives about 3-4 mile away, doesn't she? But the roads are quite windy. So probably by the roads, about 7 or 8 miles, I would have thought. And I'm thinking, well, we can't deliver it here on a phone. And we couldn't deliver it there on her ancient steam-powered PC. I'm thinking, what are we going to do? And by this stage, it was after 8 o'clock at night. Somehow, we managed to extricate ourselves, didn't we?
Yeah.
Everybody came to the conclusion that an early night was called for. So we dived in the car. Mike put his foot down and we rushed back.
Legally.
But we rushed back. Now, the office, in fact, every room in the house, it's complicated. Mum was security crazy. Every room in the house has a deadlock on it. What do you call it? A chub lock. So when we go out with the keys, that weighs about 5 stone, all the keys. So we dash back. We got through the back door. We got through the kitchen door. We're stood outside the office and neither of us can find the key for the office. So near and yet so far, wasn't it, Mike? Like, where's the key? I don't know. Well, where's your key? Well, maybe my key. We know your key. Eventually, we found a key. I sat down to do that show about 30 seconds to 9 on the day we buried Mike's dad. And somehow we had a show. Did I mention I can't be doing with these mastermind things where they just cancel them willy-nilly?
Mm.
That was close. That was the closest it's ever been. But, you know, I'm sure your dad would have appreciated that.
From hell or high water, exactly. The show must go on.
Exactly. Well, it wouldn't have done if I could have cancelled. But thanks to YouTube's complete ineptitude, I couldn't cancel it. But, you know, your dad would have appreciated that.
Well, he was an actor, wasn't he?
The show must go on, darling. So it did. It did. Oh, yeah. 2020. I don't think anybody needs an introduction to 2020, do they?
No.
But the good news for MacBiters was it was a whole new show. In fact, we'd launched something earlier than that, hadn't we, in 2019?
We had.
Which was Brooklyn's 196, which was your baby, not mine.
That was my baby.
It was.
It's your idea.
It was my idea, but your baby. Well, so I left you to do the work, but it was my idea. But I've by that stage, Brooklyn's had been going since April
2019. Yeah.
So we were well versed with Brooklyn's. But when the world went to hell in a handcart, we decided we'd do 5 episodes of Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. And how many have we done now?
It's 7 o'clock and time
to be marooned.
Stay safe, guys.
5 days. Remember this? 5 days. And in the end, it was over 500.
Yeah.
So we did 500 straight, and then we've done specials since then. So yes, that was when Marooned was born. Now, 2020 was also when we bought new kit. It was 3.5 years since we'd bought our last IMAX. And by this stage, we had an inkling that Timmy was up to mischief. and that the 2020 iMac would be, it was the last Intel iMac, wasn't it? For a start. And Mike needed an Intel iMac to run Excel on. But also, we also figured that because they hadn't released a 27-inch new version in a new style, this would be the last one. There would be no iMacs. So we ordered them, didn't we? We ordered two for delivery in December. And as I'm pretty confident it was that one. It could have been 2017. I'm not sure. But it was a day when we got two iMacs delivered. Or technically, we should have done. And do you remember yours came a day later and I waited for you?
Oh, yeah. It was, I think it was that one.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was that one.
I left my iMac not unboxed until Mike's arrived. That's true love right there.
Yes.
Yes. Nothing says I love you more than leaving your iMac there, your brand new iMac, leaving it for 24 hours. Oh, my, what fun that was. But it wasn't without incident, was it?
No, was this the keyboard?
It was, the keyboard. Mike. Yes. Tell them what you did.
I can't remember all the details, but
I think defaulted to it was what you said.
In a nutshell, I nearly bought a Hungarian keyboard rather than a British one.
When I went through the purchase process, it was a British keyboard. When Mike did, it was Hungarian, which reminds me of, do you remember that? It was a running gag in Open All Hours.
The Jamaican ginger cake.
Well, there was the Jamaican ginger cake, but there was also your father being Hungarian.
Don't remember
that one. Yeah, I remember that. So that stuck with me, this Hungarian keyboard. Luckily, I stopped him before he clicked buy. Oh, my. I actually think that was the last time that it was exciting because I stuck with that 2021 for a while until I killed it. But the releases had gone from like launches to press releases and there was no live audience anymore because it was 2020. That was, I think, when it kind of hit us that there's not as much software to review either.
No, I was saying this the other day that, you know, if we were to review an app in every show, we'd be bankrupt because we'd be spending a fortune on subscriptions.
You would.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, I don't think there's as many. You know, when we started MacBytes, it was very much that something was either free or it was 79 pence. And at 79 pence, everybody you knew who had an iPhone or a Mac bought it. So it was a topic of conversation. But, you know, now it's behind a paywall or a subscription or whatever, or a stupid trial of 5 seconds. People don't bother. They're not as excited about the potential of something. And therefore, it's like, well, we could talk about it, but there isn't really much point.
No, because you're not going to buy it. We're not going to buy it, and you guys probably wouldn't buy
it. We could take a trial, maybe. I mean, I remember talking to one developer. I asked a question. So I wrote and I asked a question about this app. And he wrote back with an answer to the question and gave me a license for the pro version and said, you know, use this, you keep this, but use it for the review. And I thought, whoa, because I would never ask for that. I know podcasters do. But, you know, to me, people have got a living to make. So either I'll buy it or I won't. I don't think I've reviewed anything where I've only taken the trial. I would either buy it. So I would only be comfortable talking about stuff that I would pay to use. And I do pay to use it. That was the only time that ever happened. We did get some licenses from BusyCal, didn't we?
We did.
But they were competition prizes. We gave them all away.
Surprised they gave us anything.
Oh, well, they used to be great. And then, well, they hoisted you by your own petard the other day. This is a classic. Right, pretend Mike's not here and he's not listening. So, you know what he's like for updating his software? Naughty, naughty boy. Doesn't update it as often as he could. Let's just say that. So a few weeks ago, I'd done a BusyCal update and weirdness happened. I thought, what's going on? And half my stuff was missing. So obviously, first thing you do is to check that the calendars have got ticks in. And they did. I thought, but where's all my sessions? Now, bearing in mind, I work American time, particularly West Coast. So Kim and I, we're in sync. You can imagine then why I couldn't see anything after 5 o'clock UK time. This was an issue. I couldn't see any of my events. So luckily, I had read the release notes and I knew what the issue was. So fast forward like 5 weeks. Mr. Dilatory finally updated his software.
Is that me?
Yes, it's you, Mike. Mr. Dilatory. Finally updated BusyCal. Didn't notice a thing. Carried on using it as was. So we're talking about dates, right? Important dates, like when are we going to do show 200 and things like that. So I said something like, you can't do it Tuesday, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, can't do that Tuesday. And he said, why not? And he's open BusyCal and he sat looking at it. Well, there's nothing wrong with Tuesday. I said, there's a match. We're playing Wolves at home. Was it home or away?
It was home or away, one of them.
Well, obviously. So I said, we've got Wolves at home. And he looked at his calendar and he said, no, we haven't. I said, Mike, there's a match on. He looked at his calendar and he said, hang on a minute. It stops at 5 o'clock. Me laughed like a drain. Yeah, there's a checkbox. This is something we fight constantly, isn't it? Mm. There's a stupid tick box in BusyCal. Stupid because it says only show work hours. Well, you can specify the work hours, but there's a lot of stuff that happens outside work hours that's on the calendar. And the thing with this option is, no matter how many times you disable it, they re-enable it again when you update. So that's what they've done. And Mike was completely ignorant of the fact that his beloved team are playing on Tuesday night. So I said, what you need to do is to go into your preferences. And he went in and he said, it's that, isn't it? I said, yes, again. So let that be a lesson to you.
Yes.
If you're updating BusyCal, go in and check that they've not enabled the box.
Yes, dear.
Don't say yes, dear, like that. You're the one who could have been cooking and missing the game.
Right. She carry on.
Doesn't want to be reminded.
No.
Oh, great fun. I changed something in 2021 that I did not expect to be changing. We did a show. It was called Killing Keynote and Taking Pleasure in PowerPoint. I switched to PowerPoint from Keynote. It was after a complete disaster. It was just after a MacBytes After Hours, where I'd done, I think it was the GTD one. I was introducing GTD and para and productivity, which turned out to be an oxymoron in the end. I delivered it. It was fine. I had the recording on YouTube of me delivering the keynote presentation. However, at the end of it, the keynote presentation had nuked itself. It had randomly deleted slides. I still have a copy of this presentation. Now, I'd done backups and all sorts. It had nuked the lot. Well, obviously, I thought it was a blip. I thought it was just me. But then I went to a presentation and this guy, who was usually amazing, wasn't. And at the end, he said, I'm sorry about that. The slides weren't as I left them. And he was using Keynote. When it happened, so three strikes and you're out here. When it happened to our own Johnny, I thought, right, we're done. So after this show, I remember saying to Mike, I'm going to test PowerPoint. It has to meet certain criteria or I won't be using it. And that only left Google Slides and no one wants to go there. Although now there would be Canva, wouldn't there? But there wouldn't have been at the time. So I takes a look at PowerPoint. Mike starts and says, oh, well, there's templates and there's master slides. I said, no, Mike, stop. Whoa, dude, stop. I said, the first thing I need to do is just randomly open a presentation, just make a random presentation and try delivering it. I said, if it doesn't work well with the three screens and the fact I need to see the presenter's notes and the fact I need to be live while I'm doing it, I can't use it. Now, Keynote, you either present without the presenter's notes or on every screen you've got, which means you can't see anything else. No chat, nothing. PowerPoint, not actually bad. So I was thrilled at that point, which meant I could then go back to the beginning. We could start discussing things like layouts and master slides, couldn't we?
Mm.
And now pretty much I live in PowerPoint virtually every day. I think I worked out about 500, 600 slides a week. Easy. So I'm pretty fast in PowerPoint now, even faster with my Raycast. But 2021 was also, I did a show, I can't remember what the show was called, but in the show, I got down with the cool kids, didn't I? And started talking in gaming slang. Do you remember it?
I remember it.
I can't remember what the show was called, but it was about the Epic thing, the Epic Apple battle, that Epic wanted to not give Apple any money. Well, I'd like to have all the benefits of Apple when you're not giving them any money either. Doesn't work like that, Epic, just saying. Although they did win in the end, didn't they? Although Apple have been backpedaling ever since. But it was also, if that was epic, it wasn't as epic as the Samsung event that you missed.
Which I missed.
They were supposed to be announcing a phone, and this phone was supposed to be really, really good. So let's do the phone thing, they said. It was like a musical, and it was the worst presentation I've ever seen since we saw the Canva debacle for Affinity 3. It was that bad. But at least with that one, it wasn't our kit, and everyone was agreeing that it was shocking as well. We headed into 2022 doing the full Monty, but we didn't do it until 11 months after everybody else, which is pretty much where we're at now, isn't it?
Hadn't we better explain the full Monty?
What was it called? I can't remember what
it was an operating system.
Monterey.
Monterey.
Was it? Oh, right. Yeah. I wasn't at all sure it was.
I'm sure it was Monterey.
Go and check. Yes, but the full Monty. Well, I didn't do it anyway. Not for 11 months. But Mike was having his own adventure. You know when you get an Apple AirTag and you put it on something important because you're scared you'll lose the something important? Yeah, Mike didn't do that, did you?
No, I lost the AirTag.
He lost the AirTag.
Yeah.
He was on his keys. He had the keys, lost the AirTag. There's no words sometimes.
No.
There isn't. What did I call that show? Because it was Prince Albert and his, outrageously overgrown bush,
that's
wasn't it?
That's the one, yeah.
Because he'd managed to drop it in a bush in somebody's garden.
Literally round the corner from here. In fact, you can see it from the window, can't you?
You can. But there he is wandering around with his phone and it's saying, you know, you're 6 feet away, and it was in the middle of this bush. Dear me. Now, 2023, we had a demise. It was the demise of my iMac. We managed to kill it, didn't we? I think it was doing after hours that killed it. It was in the summer and it overheated, which yours did last summer.
Mine did last summer, yeah.
Well, mine just did it earlier. So 2023, I was pretty grumpy that my three-year-old Mac was turning its toes up. But it did give me the opportunity to buy a Mac Studio. So it wasn't all bad, was it? I happen to know that was after hours 199. And that was the arrival of my Mac Studio that had been, if you remember, on 7 week back order. 7 weeks. I could have grown one in the garden in that time. But it arrived. And with it, a complication. Because the two 27-inch monitors I had either side of my iMac didn't work as well with the Mac Studio. I've got an app called Resolutionator that enabled me to run them at the same res as the iMac that wouldn't do that on the Mac Studio. So unfortunately, notice that the unfortunately in there, I was forced to buy two new monitors, wasn't I?
You were forced.
Well, I already had one. We'd bought one as a test and it didn't work. I mean, the monitor was fine. It just didn't do what we wanted it to. And it sat on the desk for 14 months. So when the studio arrived, it arrived a little bit early, if you remember. It arrived a couple of days before it was supposed to. And it was a Thursday. So Mike said, get the studio ordered, the studio monitor thing. And I said, I'll try it on this one first. I did. And it worked. So I settled with that and these two 27s. Because I couldn't fit two more 32s on the desk. But weeks went by and I was keeping an eye on the price of these monitors. And I thought it would be really good if they matched, if I had three monitors that matched. And these monitors were still for sale. And then they were reduced as well on top of everything else. So they were reduced from about £500 to £199. So I thought it's got to be done. It's got to be done. And I'm thinking as I'm looking at them, and how are you going to get them on the desk? And I thought, well, I'll lose some other things off the desk. They do actually overhang the desk, but the desk is over 6 foot wide. So I'm glad I had this desk. Do you remember when we had the wall done? And then we got the carpenter in to redesign the desk because it needed to be deeper from front to back and it needed to be much wider. Well, it was just as well I did that, wasn't it? Lost the filing cabinet to do it. But I would never have been able to fit these monitors on without. That was what the full Al Gore was. We did a show called The Full Al Gore and it was the setup of these monitors. And you know, 2 years on, I am quite happy with it. Absolutely fabulous. But I'm not doing the, what's the latest one, the shiny thing? Tahoe. Not doing Tahoe. Not happening. Not now I've done iOS 26. It's hideous. I think I'll wait for the next one for that. But yes, my full Al Gore was definitely, definitely worth the wait. I'd sworn off IMAX by that stage. You know when they jumped the shark with that, Mike?
When?
When they made the colour-coded charging cables.
Oh, yeah. Colour-coded.
And didn't they put the Ethernet port on the charging brick? Just for hilarity. So if you charge,
so.
If your charging brick breaks, imagine you wouldn't be using your iMac, would you? But you won't be using your Ethernet either. And it was all colour-coded. So yeah, I thought, no, definitely not happening after that. 2024. We're almost there now, aren't we? 2024. It was the year of Apple Intelligence. And when they announced it and showcased it and all the rest of it, Renee was on form, wasn't he? And it became the title of the show. Apple Intelligence, I'm missing my billiards for this. My billiards lesson. I'm missing my billiards lesson for this. Yes. Apple Intelligence still isn't there, is it? I don't find it very intelligent.
I've totally forgotten about it, to be
bad
honest.
Bad words are said when it pops up in Drafts. I don't know why Drafts, more than any other app, pops up this like blue logo thing that says summarise it. And I'm like, I don't want it summarised. Go away. And that's the polite version. So no, Apple Intelligence didn't really happen. Do you know what else didn't really happen? How many shows would we have done normally? But how many shows did we do in 2024? And don't cheat and look at the notes.
I know how many we did.
Oh! Well, everybody else, have a quick guess. You're quite right, Pandemonium. Life can be such a trial. Two. There were two fights in 2024. I don't really know how we did that, to be honest. Because there wouldn't have been much in the way of after hours either. No, it must have been quite a restful year, that. There you go. There were two MacBuys, though, and one of them was missing your billiards lesson for it. But 2025 didn't start well when Microsoft killed Skype. I still haven't got an alternative for that, you know.
No, I haven't.
No, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. So thank you for that. That's brilliant. Then I had fun with quarantined files.
I remember that one.
That was all to do with BB Edit. So I'd had this set up for the whole of 2023 and 2024, probably because it hadn't bothered me, probably because we'd only done two MacBytes and it was the MacByte scripts that weren't working. So I've scripted BB Edit to do magic. And when I came to use it, it said they were quarantined and it wouldn't let me unquarantine them. So again, bad words were said. And I ended up doing it a completely different way. But that wasn't fun. I mean, how do you go on if it's a file that you can't recreate or do something with? I don't get why you would quarantine them. But that's Apple for you. You don't actually own your kit. You know, you're only renting it from Apple. And you have to use it according to Apple rules. You did better, though, with your hardware, didn't you?
Yeah, I was two oven Thomas. Like Toblerone Thomas.
Yeah, Toblerone Thomas had two ovens.
Yes.
Yes. And there's been shenanigans with those ever since, to be honest.
Not going to say any more about those at the moment.
No. There was the blinking banking thing as well.
That caught me out the other day for £2.50.
Oh, I'm crying out loud. That's what gets me with it. Whenever I get what I call carded, you know, when they send you a code and you've got to put the code in.
Yeah.
If it's Amazon, do you know what? It's me. Just if it's Amazon, it's me.
What if somebody has stolen your phone?
And how would that happen? I haven't left the house in 6 years.
This is true, but they don't know.
I don't even really need, you know, your Face ID on it.
Mm.
It's where I am. It is as simple as that.
Blinking banking, for anyone who doesn't know, is where I will spend some money or I'll transfer some money in my bank account and they want me to prove it's me by me firing up the app and blinking into this little oval thing. And they want to, it's biometrics basically, they want to check it's me.
At least I only get a code. I don't do biometrics. How would they have any idea if it was me or not? Given that they don't know what I look like. Just saying.
Mm.
It's ridiculous. I don't enjoy that at all. I don't. But the blinking banking is comical when I see Mike doing. When you do it, it's fine. What gets me is when they card me, it's for something stupid like 99 pence for an ebook.
Mm.
But I spent, how much was it for that thing? £7,500. Didn't get carded. £7,500 with Apple, didn't get carded. But for the 99p ebook, oh, you're going to have to prove who you are. There's no words sometimes for their stupidity. You spent the year arguing with Copilot, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm still arguing with Copilot.
How is Copilot by comparison to ChatGPT?
Is an MVP allowed to say that?
Yes, no one will say anything.
No comment, Your Honour. No, I prefer ChatGPT.
I think between the two, I use ChatGPT a lot for working with images, doing weirdness with images. But Claude, I think I prefer for other stuff. But very much, that although you think they're all going to be the same, they're not the same, are they?
No.
The results you get from each one. I find with Claude is brilliant if what you want is totally predictable. I've tried to get ChatGPT to do the same thing twice. No chance. It likes injecting its own personality into things. But Claude will follow a set of instructions. So they're both great, but I think I've only ever used Copilot once. And that was only because I was trying to log into Microsoft and it dumped me there. Hmm. And I had to ask Copilot how I could get into my Microsoft account. Ridiculous. Then there was the avocado scanner that we did Poke and Hope.
We did, yes. Mm.
And then Tracy sent us a picture of the avocado scanner in France, no less, a French avocado scanner. Utterly ridiculous use of tech.
The scanner de avocado.
Oh.
She'll pick me up on that one.
She will. Well, while she's doing that, she's leaving me alone. So there you go. Not all bad, is it? And then both of us did the Windows on Apple Silicon thing.
We did.
That was because you got a Mac Studio.
Yep.
And then it was needed.
Mm.
I had no idea about Windows ARM versions and all kinds of stuff. But it's a lot easier for me because for 2 years I've been checking the church newsletter on my iMac, which means I've got to do the remote desktop thing to log into the darn thing. So it's a lot easier to have an ARM version of Windows. Also means I can install not the ARM version, is it? The Windows version. Oh, it is the ARM version. Yeah, but there's multiple ARM versions. It's Affinity. I've got it installed on Windows, but you need to use the enterprise version now, don't you?
You do.
To make it work.
Yeah.
But it did mean that I was able to help that guy who had the problem where it was crashing and I fixed it. He had been onto Affinity, Canva Affinity, and he'd been going backwards and forwards with their support for like 10 days and they couldn't fix it. So he said to me, have you got any idea? And I know you're on a Mac and I'm on Windows. And I thought, well, yeah, but I've got a Windows version. And I tried it. I said, well, try that. I can't guarantee it will work because the image he'd sent was working for me. I said, I can't guarantee it will work, but try this. And if that doesn't work, then try that. And the first thing he tried didn't work. And then it started working. So he was finally able to edit his images. And we both thought, well, that was really worthwhile support, wasn't it, from Canva? Even they don't know what's wrong with it. Oh, so that's our adventures, our MacBytes adventures. I also said to you, there's things we talk about and I wonder if everybody knows the origin of them.
Mm.
First of all, there's David Hockney. Can you remember? I can remember why we talk about David Hockney.
Yeah, he did something on an iPad.
He did. He designed a stained glass window. I think it was for Westminster Abbey, but don't quote me. And he did it on an iPad. Well, if you've ever seen this stained glass window, a child of 3 could have done it on an iPad. It was appalling. But ever since, as soon as there's a story about David Hockney, I'm there reading it like, can we get anything out of this? After this stupid thing. He was so proud of the fact he designed it on an iPad, but it was awful. It was absolutely awful. I'll tell you another one. Let's see if you can remember this one. Seven Tears. Goombay Dance Band.
Yeah.
What was the origin of that?
I can't remember.
No, I can't, but I know Jane covered it.
Probably me listening to it on...
I've got no idea, but we Spotify. Often play Seven Tears. We do. Now, one of my favourite things, I'm not going to pick a favourite computer yet, but a favourite thing was the 12 South backpack. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but I never had one.
I got one.
So it wasn't one of my favourite things.
You did have one.
Did I?
Eventually, on an iMac.
Oh, news to me.
Yeah, because it had your USB hub on it. Obviously, I've got about 20 of these things. but they were hugely expensive. I remember when they came out, they're like £50. It's a shelf, and it's a small shelf at that. But it was an experience. It was an Apple experience opening it, because you opened it and there was tissue paper on the outside. There was tissue paper on the inside. It was amazing. Another one of my happy memories was when we acquired a cat.
Well, we didn't, but...
Well, we did.
Well, we did.
It depends who you ask as to whether we had a cat or not. This was back in the day when we had Mayor, and Mayor would have known if we had a cat or not. As he did, didn't he? He went outside one day, he's looking under my car, it's raining, I'm not pleased, like, do your business and let's go back in. And he is sniffing like crazy. I said, there's nothing there, there's nothing there, there's nothing there. And he wouldn't leave my car alone. So in the end, I couldn't get him back in the house. In the end, I got down on my hands and knees and I said, look, there's a cat under the car. So he was right. It was a little kitten and it was petrified. It was shaking with cold and wringing wet through. So luckily, my dad was in at the time and I said to Dad, you're going to have to take him in. There's a cat under the car. Now, Dad was great with animals. So he said, well, you take him in. I'll get the cat from under the car. So he had a look. He said, oh, it's a kitten. I said, I know that. Well, somehow it took two of us to drag Mayer in, but we dragged him in. And Dad extracted this cat from under the car. Little kitten, age-wise, I don't know, but it was tiny. It really was. It had managed to wander about a mile from its home and then get stuck under the car. So we rang the number on its collar. It was called Wilbur, wasn't it?
Wilbur.
Wilbur the cat.
Wilbur.
We rang the number and there was nobody in. So we couldn't take this cat into the house. May would have gone absolutely orbital. So we had to lock it in the shed. So Dad said, I'll go and sit with the cat. He was so soft. I'll go and sit in the shed with the cat. Mum's rolling her eyes. So he takes a saucer of milk out and he sits in the shed with this cat until we can get hold of the owner. We then had to carry this cat a mile up the road to deposit it back home. So that was the first cat we had. That was genuine. We had a cat at that point.
We did.
But we got a letter and it said, congratulations on your new cat. Like, what cat? So I opened it and the address was totally right. Your new cat, Wilson. Wilson. We haven't got a cat. So I ended up having to ring this number. It was, the letter was from a pet registry. And they said a cat called Wilson had been registered to our address. So should this Wilson ever go missing and they scan the chip, they were going to tell us where this cat was, but it wasn't our cat. So I rings them up. No, it's your cat. I said, look, I've got a dog. I can assure you I haven't got a cat. Then I had to ring the vets. I'm thinking, well, how has this happened? You know, there's only 8 houses in the street. Nobody else owns this cat either. There is a cat, but we call the cat Belle. It wasn't Wilson. So I rings the vet and I said, this is going to sound insane, but bear with me. So I said, right, we've been, you know, you're our vet. You look after our dog. Our dog's called Maya. He's a dog. She said, right. I said, we've just got a letter from the pet registry to tell us that we've got a cat called Wilson. I said, I can assure you we do not have a cat called Wilson. I said, but the address is completely correct, including the postcode. I said, so has somebody at the practice registered a cat called Wilson and you've inadvertently put our address on it? I don't know, she said, I'll check. So she gets on their computer. They don't know anything about a cat called Wilson either. So at that point, I'm like, well, I don't know what else to do with this. Luckily, we never heard from them again, did we?
No.
So Wilson, we're hoping, lived a long and happy life wherever he lived. It just wasn't here. Maya would have loved a cat. I reckon Lola would as well.
I'm sure she would.
I'm sure she would. But yeah, that was Wilson the cat. Oh, we have had fun over the years. We absolutely have. We want you to share your memories in the chat. So what's your memories of the highlights? The highlights. I remember you running around screaming Excel, Excel, and not talking about Microsoft Excel.
Extra large, extra large.
Yes. It was a T-shirt. Don't get excited. It was a
Was it the Leopard launch?
It was the Leopard launch.
Yeah.
They were giving T-shirts out and you were letting them know what size you wanted.
Extra large, extra large.
Oh, that was a classic. I remember being quite concerned about the Koi Pond Mafia.
Mm.
There was a game. Well, it wasn't really a game, was it? It was for an iPad and it showcased, like, you touched the screen and the water rippled. Just rippled. And I thought it was ridiculous. Jane thought it was great. This is Jane in Perth. But I got abused on Twitter by the Koi Pond Mafia, who loved it. Absolutely loved it. Unbelievable. But yes, fond memories of Koi Pond. Is it still a thing? Is it still a thing, the Koi Pond?
I have no idea. Should I go and have a look?
I don't know, but I mean, it was a long time ago. It was 2009. Talking of Jane, Jane sent you a present, didn't she?
She did.
We had long had MacBytes merch at this stage. And one of the MacBytes merch items we had was a thong. I wonder if anybody ever bought one. We should have bought thong. One. So Jane sent Mike not one thong, but two thongs. Luckily, seeing as though he decided to showcase them, and a photo went on the website, they were thongs that you put on your feet. They were Aussie thongs.
Aussie thongs.
Not UK thongs. Totally different thing. That's like suspenders and belt and braces, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, it's belt and braces over here. Suspenders, totally different thing that could get the clean tag removed. Don't talk about that. But, you know, I said we kind of reached our zenith and we started doing what we wanted to do. We had a show called Ribbed and Sensitive. And I have no idea what the topic was.
I put a link to the thongs.
Excellent. That's a photo.
In the chat. And it's a photo of my feet.
Not only did we have Ribbed and Sensitive, we also had Buzzing in the Bedroom.
Mm.
And when Maya went to visit that vet for the liver function test, you took him for a trot, didn't you?
I did.
Around the corner. Because he just loved his walks. Loved them. And he came back. Mike was as white as a sheet. The dog looked giddy. And he said, good grief. There's rubbish dumped up there. He said, and there's rats the size of cats. I thought, no wonder the dog looks thrilled. I loved it. And I do wish I could remember what you were doing to pleasure Jeremy Clarkson in episode 63.
I can't remember. It was obviously an off-the-cuff comment.
I think you need to do the Matt Bites Marathon, Mike.
Do I?
I think the show I remember the most was the old Razzle Dazzle, which was Mum. She always had shit. Mum didn't drive. She could technically move a car, but she never passed a test. So she didn't drive. And she had this thing that, you know, Dad would drive her around. I would drive her around. You would drive her around. I don't know if you found the same thing, but I'm trying to concentrate on the road. And she assumes that you can hold a conversation with her, listen to the radio and see everything that's going on outside as well.
Yeah.
So she said to me as I'm driving, and I'm driving past paparazzi outside the old Mags Court, which has since gone. So it's the Magistrates Court in Sale. And it was opposite this, what looked like a hairdresser's, I'll grant you. Mum looked at it and he said, was it fish and tips?
Fish and tips.
She misread it. She didn't have the glasses on as fish and chips. And she said, what's on that menu outside? And there was a menu outside, and fair enough, it said fish and chips, that she thought was fish and chips. I'm said, Mum, I'm driving, and I'm also trying not to run these paparazzi over that are running in the middle of the road as well. Just give me a minute. We pulls up alongside fish and tips, not chips. I glance at the menu. It was only a piercing parlour. Yeah, I had to explain what the jazzling was. Can you imagine trying to do that while you're trying not to kill paparazzi and watch what's happening in the Magistrates Court? Oh, classic.
Wasn't the paparazzi there because Roy Keane was in court?
Somebody famous was in court for something, and yeah. I'm not sure what it was, but yeah, it could have been Roy Keane because he was in there. But they were literally just running across the road with cameras flying, and she's asking me how much the fish and chips were, I quite fancy a fish. No, 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 Mum, you don't. They're fish. That they did have fish, hence it being called fish and tips. You know the ones that nibble at hard skin on your feet?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I call those piranhas, but whatever. Oh, never again. Never, never again. Do you know one of the names I remember the most, and we've mentioned it a lot? Mike's Bot.
Blame Graham for that.
That was Graham. That yeah. Well, no, Graham. Actually, it wasn't Graham's fault. Graham just sampled your Bot, as it were, and created a song out of it. Mm. Which now he's reminding me of Robert's Robots. That was a classic, Graham. If you've never heard Mike's Bot, 94 from 2014, you need to listen to Mike's Bot. Oh, great fun. And then you got your 3 foot Toblerone, didn't you?
I did. Somebody mentioned that in the chat.
I can't remember.
Annie's mentioned it.
I can't remember what Jane's space race was, but I do remember the 3 foot Toblerone.
Yeah.
I also remember Elon's rocket propelled goat. Was he trying to put a goat in? I don't think he was he?
Can't remember.
Wasn't it something to do with the greatest of all time? That he said he was the greatest of all time or something?
I think you could
but
be
But whatever.
Right.
The poster had a goat in a rocket heading off to Mars. Classic. So, there's something missing from this show, isn't there, so far? What would that be? Mike's got no idea.
No, I'm reading a comment.
Oh, right. Oh, Graham still got it. Excellent, Graham.
No, the one above that.
Excellent. Oh, good grief. Yes, a Dulux dog. I'm with you there, Pandemonium. Oh, that's classic. My gran used to do that. There's a word for that, isn't it, when they use the wrong word, is it? Malapropionisms or something.
No idea.
Something like that. Oh, that's a classic. One of my grands was, Mum was a huge fan of Gone with the Wind, the movie and the book. And my gran was arguing the toss with her. You couldn't tell my gran anything. If she got something mixed up, there was no putting her right. And she turned around and she said to Mum, well, she was called Scarlet because of the men. And Mum just looked at her like she'd freaked, because obviously the character was christened Katie Scarlet at birth. Gran would not be told that it wasn't like an inappropriate nickname. Oh, these are the things we remember, aren't they? My gran also had this other thing that she would never have.
Malapropism, says Alex.
Right, excellent. That's what I meant. Gran also had this thing. She wouldn't have a photograph taken with glasses on. She would always insist on taking them off. And, you know, you got used to it, fair enough, but none of these photos ever looked like Gran. And I remember taking this photograph of her when we were up on the Fylde coast. We'd gone up to a place called Cleveley's for the day, see this family that was on holiday there. And we headed off up there. And we were having like a picnic at the table. She sat at this table with her friends and I took a photo, but it was kind of like reportage. You know, she didn't know I was taking it. She had her glasses on. When she saw this photograph, she forbid me from sharing it with anybody. It was never to see the light of day. We called it Gran and her Cleveley's head because she wasn't smiling, but it was the image of my grandmother. It was the photograph that looked the most like her. Well, we did keep it. This was 1984. We kept it until we didn't show anybody other than the family, you know, me, Mum, Dad. Nobody had seen this photo until after she died. And they were at her house clearing it out. And my aunt was there. And I said, you won't ever have seen the photo, will you, from Cleveland's? What photo from Cleveland's? She said. So I got it out. And she went, oh, that's my mum. She said, never have I seen a photograph that is more my mum than that. I said, yeah, it wasn't allowed to see the light of day. She hated it. And my aunt was like, can I have a copy? It is her. It is the only photo that has ever really been her. Absolute classic. Oh, I am loving Pandemonium's gran. I am. That man's erotic driving and you meant erratic. This is what we remember about our grandmothers. And you still laugh now. Exactly. You still laugh now. Right. I've got a mail here Right, let me have a look at this. I can't see it at the moment. Right. Right. Do we have that in there? Right. I've got no name on that, but MS Chappie, who's just been listening to MacBytes. So he talked about this guy having trouble with Affinity on an ARM Windows computer. I've got Lenovo ARM with Snapdragon Plus, and it will install, but it will not work with a Canon printer. There's no solution. Oh, that's not good. That is not good at all. This solution for him was it was using hardware acceleration, which if it can, it should. But it didn't work, full stop. So he turned off hardware acceleration and Affinity sprang to life. He said it's pretty slow opening a file, but at least it's working. I mean, this reminds me of happy days on Windows, doesn't it? When it was, it's 0.00001 of a driver revision out, and that's why nothing's working. But I did say to Mike today, the Mac isn't what it used to be. What did it do to me today? Or was it you? It did something, and I said, well, the Mac isn't what it used to be either. And it really isn't. I would much rather go back. I would say Snow Leopard, but I did read an article the other day that people were saying, like, you've got rosy glasses with Snow Leopard. And I thought, well, I'd rather have Snow Leopard than I would this Tower Home monstrosity. Just saying. I don't like what it's done to the phone, and I can't turn it off, because if I turn it off, I can't use Vivaldi. It's things like that that drive me insane. It is. So I was saying, Mike, that this show has been lacking something so far. Something that has been there in every show for 14 years. And it hasn't been there today. You know what I mean now, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, good. I was thinking that maybe you didn't know what I was talking about. Well, luckily, I have captured the pair of them. And I've locked them in a room and said, you're not coming out until you've Siri sketched for episode 200. So here you go.
Can you believe it?
Believe what?
They've made it to 200 shows.
I'll be honest, I never thought they would.
Me neither.
I never expected any of us to live long enough.
I have to agree.
I need to congratulate you on your foresight back in show 100, though.
Foresight?
Yes, that show was released on the 1st of November, 2015.
And?
Here you go, this is the recording. Hey Siri. Hey Siri. Hey Siri. Oi defo.
Oh, it's you. Sorry, but I've got to act deaf when they call or I'd never get anything done.
Very true. What are you doing anyway?
Buying a 5-year diary for planning the next 100 shows.
Really? Do you think that gives you long enough?
Oh, good point. I'll buy 2 just to be sure. I wasn't wrong, was I?
Yes, actually, you were. If you do the maths, it would have taken 3. Oh, our favourite co-hosts, aren't they, Mike?
They are.
Couldn't be without the series. Well, somehow we've managed a 2-hour show. We're 3 minutes off a 2-hour show. But I will put the series sketch in the recording. And we've got the out as well, which I've already done. I've already done the in and I've already done the out. And I've got a cough now. So the only thing we needed was the bit in the middle.
Mm.
And we've managed the bit in the middle with a live audience. Excellent. So let me know in the chat, have you enjoyed that? And yes, Kim's quite right. Lady Pipes. But Lady Pipes was, did we mention them in Matt Pites? We definitely mentioned them in After Hours. But I tend to think of that as a marooned thing. And I've got a Lady Pipe, haven't I? It was a pink one.
Yeah.
I actually bought a Lady Pipe for episode 500 of Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Great, great fun. Now I need to take a glass of water. Reminiscing is indeed so much fun, Renee. Well, I've enjoyed it. Have you enjoyed it?
I've enjoyed it.
I would ask Siri if he'd enjoyed it, but he's grumpy with me now. Proving him wrong. Who'd have thought we'd have needed 3 5-year diaries? Mm. Shall we schedule the next 100 then? Or shall we schedule, you know, for 200? We've done well this year. We have done well, you've got to admit. Oh, right. Jerome says definitely enjoyed it. Excellent. Pandemonium's enjoyed it. Excellent. And what we got? Kim always loves her time with us. Thank you very much. And Deb loves it too. Now, is this, which Deb is this? Because we have a birthday, don't we?
I'm guessing it's Deb Andrew.
Oh, in that case, it's Deborah Benstead's birthday today. So if that Deb is with us, happy birthday. If not, hopefully you'll hear it in the show. Renee has loved it. Excellent. Excellent, Renee. Glad you've enjoyed it. Well, we will release it as show 200, but there will be a bit at the beginning and a bit at the end. So even if you've been with us live, you can at least listen to the beginning bit and the end bit. We are also, of course, live tomorrow, because today's Saturday. I've totally lost track of the days, haven't I? Recording day was Saturday. But we will be live tomorrow at 3 o'clock when I'm looking at creating a trifold brochure. Had great fun with that. And there will be, of course, we're doing a review of the year show, aren't we?
Yeah.
Let me know with the review of the year show if you'd like it live or not. Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Instead of discussing everything MacBite, just discuss what went on this year, because it's been a crazy old year, hasn't it? Let me know. Oh, Pandemonium says looking forward to tomorrow, even better. Wasn't working today, could enjoy it. Excellent. And Kimmy's looking forward to the trifolds. The trifolds are interesting. I've actually enjoyed the prep for that, because the way that I did it the last time I did it isn't the way that I'm going to do it this time. So that's been interesting. And bad words have been said, haven't they, Mike?
They have. In fact, when you just said I enjoyed the prep for that.
When it was working, I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just that you saw all of it, didn't you?
Mm.
And heard most of it.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Learned new words.
Well, that's because the bullets and numbering went wonky. That's not the word I would normally use, but it went wonky. So I had to beat that into submission with a stick. But yes, it's all going to go swimmingly, she said. In fact, I'm at that stage where I've prepped it that much that I could probably do it blindfold. And that's always dangerous, because that's when something goes wrong. But never mind that. I will be live tomorrow, as long as I've got a voice to do it. Oh, people say yes. Yes, a live review of the year. Well, we shall have to see how we go on with that. We'll go back to our organising now, won't we?
Yeah.
And we'll sort it all out. But thank you very much. Can Mikey hear the bad words in his training room? Not if he's in his where he would normally work, and not if he's in his YouTube area. But most of the time, unless Mike is doing...
Unless
you're recording or
delivering
or working,
live training.
Yeah, then he's in the office with me. So he can certainly hear everything in here. We sit back to back. Is that to stop us scrapping?
Yeah.
Although we can turn around and look at each other. We're not actually back to back, if you're with me. We're about 4 or 5 foot apart, but back to back. But that's actually useful. We'd have to do that anyway, wouldn't we, for the rear ejection on the microphone. So, yes, he can definitely hear me. And he enjoys that, don't you, Mike?
Mm.
Mind you, I'll wrap Mike out here. Who had bad words to say about Power Query or whatever it was?
I've still got bad words to say about Power Query.
Who told you what the problem was?
Now he's broken.
Oh, he's broken it as well. Because I sort of fixed it, didn't I? I said it was a display issue.
Mm.
And it's all sorted. Excellent. Kim did not know that setup. Right, what we'll do is I'll do a layout so you can see it.
Yeah, sketch it out.
A diagram. I'll sketch it out so you can see how everything works. So yes, he's behind me to my left.
He's behind you.
Yeah, and I'm behind you to your left.
Yes.
With the chairs that we assembled about 2 or 3 years ago. Do you remember when we had 4 chairs delivered? Mm. Oh, that was great fun as well. Or was it 3? No, it's 3, wasn't it? Yeah. We always do that with IKEA. And we have an order from IKEA and they come in with it and it's massive. I don't remember the chair boxes being that big, but luckily we paid to have them delivered because, you know, not left the house in quite a while. So we paid to have them delivered, but then we ended up with 3 of them in the office and couldn't move. And we also had the 2 that we were sat on. So there were 5 all told, weren't there, while we sorted them out. Ah, right. Okay. Renee says, thanks for the show. Can't wait for the next one. We'll work out when that is and then we'll be back. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Yes, it's Future Elaine here, wrapping up show 200. And as always, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments and queries by email to thecrew@macbites.co.uk or use the contact form on the website. We also have a very active Discord chat room that's open 24/7. Simply go to macbytes.co.uk/TMC, that's the MacBytes community, and join the conversation. You can follow MacBytes on Blue Sky, where we're MacBytes. You can follow me personally on Blue Sky, where I'm Elaine Giles.
You can follow me on Blue Sky. My handle is Thomas Mike.
And I'm MacBytes Siri on Blue Sky.
The full links to all those socials are in the show notes. Until next time, this has been Elaine and Mike bringing you MacBytes.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, and see you next time.